This is the Quality News Network. 9 people are dead, 5 are wounded after a gunman opened fire at a crowded shopping mall in Omaha, Nebraska, and then turned the gun on himself. The shooter has been tentatively identified as 20-year-old Robert A. Hawkins of Omaha. Authorities say Hawkins left a suicide note behind that was found by his mother. The note reportedly says he, quote, wanted to go out in style, unquote. It is the second mass shooting at an American shopping mall this year. Back in February, 5 people were killed in Salt Lake City. Authorities then fatally shot the 18-year-old gunman to death. Hurricane-force wind and rain heading into Canada now, but not before leaving a path of destruction across the Pacific Northwest. At least 5 people have died. Meantime, residents are cleaning up and state workers are trying to open flooded highways and public buildings damaged by driving rain and wind. Congressional investigators warn of a high risk of catastrophic runway crash occurring at a U.S. airport. That's according to the Government Accountability Office, an investigative arm of Congress. The report points to overworked air traffic controllers, malfunctioning technology, and a lack of federal leadership as reasons why a major runway accident could happen at any time. President Bush will speak to the U.S. subprime mortgage crisis tomorrow after crafting an agreement between banks and mortgage companies to freeze subprime rates for the next 5 years. The Supreme Court is deciding whether or not to reverse a lower court decision, which basically ruled that 36 prisoners at Guantanamo Bay have no constitutional rights. Some have been held without charge for more than 6 years. A car bomb exploded in central Baghdad today, killing at least 14 people. Another 8 people died in other attacks throughout the country. Another suicide bombing in Afghanistan today. At least 16 police recruits were killed in Kabul. In Gaza this morning, 3 Hamas militants passed away. They died in an Israeli airstrike. And attorneys general in 9 states filing lawsuits against tobacco giant R.J. Reynolds. The suits claim Camel cigarette ads in November's issue of Rolling Stone magazine breach a 9-year-old promise not to use cartoons to sell tobacco. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll be back after this message.
Hulhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking.
So what do you look for when you decide where you're going to put all your millions?
Well, I haven't printed up enough to put it in the bank yet, but I guess for convenience and... pretty much, it's like a grocery market. You get to meet the people there, and you build a little rapport with some of them.
You know, it's a local bank, but it's part of a network of local banks that give you big bank services.
Everything that I need as far as banking is concerned, they have it. Online banking is great for me. So I just like the services that they offer.
You ever taken your dog Cindy to the bank?
As a matter of fact, when I went to open my account, she was with me.
Ah!
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we have a horse come through one of these days. We've got a lot of cowboys come in and out of here, too.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
A group of economic researchers say that a recession is looming for the U.S. economy in the first half of next year. That's due to a slump in consumer spending and a loss of some of the fundamentals that helped keep the economy going this year. The Anderson Center of Orange County, California, says the gross domestic product will shrink by 1% in the first quarter and by 1.9% in the second. There's been an unexpected rise in orders to U.S. factories during the month of October, although some of the gain is due to higher energy prices. The Commerce Department reports that orders jumped by 0.5%. That's a half point better than the flat rate that had been expected. GE is recalling 92,000 microwave combo wall ovens because of fire danger. The U.S. made ovens were sold under the GE and Kenmore labels. Drug maker Bristol Myers Squibb already beginning layoff of 10% of its workforce. The move is part of a restructuring plan that will save $1.5 billion by 2010. Lights Creek crude oil is trading at $87.49 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange, gold trading at $803.70 an ounce. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 196 points to end at 13,445, the NASDAQ up 46 points, S&P 500 up 22. There's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
We'll be right back.
Gather around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 83 of Strictly Confidential. 83. That is hard for me to wrap my head around. That means I've actually talked in this little headset to you wonderful people for a total of, what, 166 hours, I think. And you're still there. Wow, that's really an honor. And it's wonderful to have this show. It's wonderful to be with you on the Head On Radio Network. I am indeed Peter Godbold, and welcome to the LGBT version of Conversation Radio. One moment, making a small adjustment on my end for the studio. There you go. That ought to make it a little better for you, Bob. And we're exclusively listener-supported. Please stop by the Head On Radio Network site. It's headonradionetwork.com, and there you'll find the PayPal button, and you can help keep this program and all of the progressive programming on the air. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. Today is Tuesday, December the 5th, so if you're listening at shortly after 9 p.m. on a Tuesday evening, December the 5th, you're listening to a live show, and you're welcome to call in and chat. I should point out to you that there are only 19 days left in the war on Christmas. We're accused of it every year, so we might as well own up to it. Remember, you have to kill a tree before it kills you. Let's win this war this year. I'm tired of hearing it. In fact, it almost came up at church the other Sunday, the Methodist church. It was during the prayer list, and one of the women brought up the fact that there was some sort of an article or survey that the phrase Merry Christmas helped people get into the holiday spirit more than Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays, who knows. But, it's just amazing to me what people have time to go out and do surveys on. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com. There you'll find links to all of the guests and to the guests' websites. It's a Just Us show tonight. There is no guest this evening. But we've had plenty of fine ones, and if you'd like to stop by strictlyconfidentialradio.com, you'll find links to their sites and to the audio archives from the past shows, so you can listen to them at will. You'll find links to the chat room, of which I am a part and is active this evening. You'll find links to the Head On Radio Network main site, and you can find out about all of the other hosts. And as I say, I'm only a very small part of the Head On Radio Network and very proud to be a part of it. One day some big network will call me and say, Mr. Godbold, we've been listening to your show, and we want you to come over to the XYZ network. I'm going to just laugh, and I'm going to call Bob. I'm going to say, Bob, you're not going to believe this, and we'll just laugh. Good Lord. Could not imagine. You'll find links there on the Strictly Confidential radio.com site to the MySpace page and links to help you locate music you hear on the show. Today was a big day on the dirt road. Yes, indeed, the bookmobile came today. And Doggy and I went down to the bookmobile, and the little librarians all went out of the bookmobile one at a time to go pat her on the head as she peered out the passenger side window of the car. And she had plenty of attention today and enjoyed that immensely. Also, a book came today that Bob Kincaid recommended. Looking forward to reading it. It's called Wicked, and it is The Life and Times of the Wicked Witch of the West. This is The Wizard of Oz, but told from the Wicked Witch's point of view. It's bound to be something that I love. The back cover says that the Munchkins are seeking the middle-class stability. The Tin Man's a victim of domestic violence. And the little green-skinned girl will grow up to become the Wicked Witch of the West. Got to be a great book. Looking forward to it. Let's see, where do we stand? I just don't know where to begin this evening. We have had a couple of weeks now with such remarkable guests that I have seriously been ignoring the news. And there's lots of that to tell you. I'm going to do a couple of stories from Florida. Should point out the telephone numbers are 877, the number 4, head-on. That's toll-free, 877-4-HEAD-ON. Or if you have unlimited long distance, please use 304-658-5453. And that rings in West Virginia. And email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. And I try to check the email during the breaks, and so you can communicate with me any way you like. A story from Jupiter, Florida, and you're going to love this. Now, Jupiter, Florida is where the rich white folks live. Of course, the rich white folks live all up and down the coastal areas of Florida, but Jupiter, Florida is particularly rich white folks. I believe I read a story a while back that Burt Reynolds has a home there, and any number of stars, and I think Madonna has a home along in there somewhere. But anyway, all the rich white folks. And I'm talking about the truly rich white folks, not just the well-to-do rich white folks. You know, private jets, their black tie balls. There's a fellow down there by the name of Seth Tobias. Well, actually, he's not there anymore. He has died. He was a wealthy investment manager, and he was a familiar face on CNBC. He was found floating face down in a swimming pool of his mansion. Well, it was just after midnight on September the 4th when Tobias's wife, Philomena, frantically called 911 and was screaming, "Please send somebody, please, he's not breathing." So by the time the police arrived, she had pulled her husband's body to the edge of the pool, and she was cradling his head in her arms, and she was sobbing. Well, Seth was 44 years old, and the police said apparently he had suffered a heart attack. The police at the time did not consider his death suspicious. But there is a huge, huge drama going on in Jupiter these days about Tobias. The estate, the settlement is providing tons of these absolutely delightfully delicious, dark goings-on in the lives of the rich. And I might as well add Republican, even though that's not stated here. I don't think anybody will doubt that he's a Republican. You see, he's living in the world of hedge funds. Tobias has four brothers, and his widow are locked in a legal battle over the estate. You see, the estate is worth about $25 million. And in a civil complaint, the four brothers have actually accused his widow of murder. The brothers are claiming that Philomena drugged her husband and lured him to the pool where he drowned. And a former assistant to Tobias, Mr. Tobias, told police that Philomena had confessed to him that she had cajoled her husband, who was on a cocaine binge at the time, into the water and promised him that he could have sex with a male go-go dancer known as, you can't make it up, the male go-go's name is Tiger. Oh, there are more details. It gets very, you're not going to believe it. So anyway, a couple of days after he was found dead in the pool, in fact, it was the next day, I believe, Philomena had the pool drained, and she had it resurfaced, and it cost approximately $10,000, according to court documents. Now, there are all sorts of allegations going on in the wealthy community about Tobias. He ran a $300 million hedge fund from an office on Park Avenue in Jupiter. And from the Breakers, which is a huge well-to-do hotel there in Palm Beach, very much a symbol of old money and Wall Street. He also appeared on CNBC's stock picking show Mad Money, and I believe another CNBC program. So the questions are really piling up now. How did Seth die? The police have not yet opened a homicide investigation, but they're waiting. Now they're waiting for toxicology tests. They want to get those in before they make any final determination. You see, Tobias's will designates his brothers as being the beneficiary, but doesn't name his wife. Now, she contends she's entitled to the estate because the will was signed before they got married. But Tobias's brothers have invoked Florida's Slayer statute, which simply states that if you are in line to inherit money from someone and you have in fact murdered that person so that you can get the money, then that inheritance is null and void. And they are claiming that she intentionally killed her husband by asphyxiation and drowning. So The lawyers for the widow are saying that they are shocked by the allegation and that she has not committed any crime. Her lawyers are saying, in 25 years of practicing law, allegation I have ever seen. And her lawyers, it's a long list of very highly paid lawyers. And they say that she hired the contractors to empty the pool because she was, quote, distraught. You know, that's what I always do when I feel distraught. I have my pool resurfaced, drained. The mystery goes on and on. There's documentation about his lavish lifestyle and that only people that run hedge funds for, you know, wealthy investors can possibly live. He is a Tobias is a native of Philadelphia, and the area of the market that he worked in was very volatile and very secretive. He formed a corporation called Circle T with $4 million that he earned on Wall Street and parlayed that into $300 million. Tobias was very hooked up in success. He played at the Kentucky Derby. He spent days there, you know, betting on horses, the whole bit. He spent nights at Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago club. He took private jets to New York and back to Florida, where he owns home, at least two homes. He's apparently spent millions of dollars every year. Outstanding expenses at the time of his death included $52,000 and some change on his American Express card, almost $8,000 on his Bank of America card. The mortgage payment for one of his homes was $35,000 a month. He paid $1,300 a month to lease a Land Rover, and his monthly cable bill from Comcast was, are you sitting down, $535.19. Yes, it is possible to spend that much with Comcast, I guess, if you have enough television sets hooked up to it, and maybe computers. Hints now are emerging about his private life, and it's starting to become a huge scandal. His associates and the people he worked with said that that he was a very heavy cocaine user, and of course the wife is saying that her husband was on a cocaine binge the night he died. His former business associates say he used drugs regularly and often disappeared from the office for days and weeks at a time. And the police have also been called to the Tobias home from time to time because of domestic disturbances. And here's the good part. The couple frequently visited a gay bar called Cupid's. Now, this was very secret, and it's just now coming up. They went fairly often to a gay bar called Cupid's in West Palm Beach. Now, that's in a strip mall on the thoroughfare. Now, that's where Tobias met Tiger. Now, the bar owner, he's Cupid's longtime owner, manager, says that Seth used to regularly come in, and sometimes he came with his wife. The club had a flat-screen television set that played hardcore pornography. It wasn't exactly a dance club. That looks like more of a pickup club to me. Anyway, the bar owner showed the police and the person who wrote the story, the newspaper group, a picture of Tiger. Okay, so Tiger is this blonde, young, kind of a jock guy who's covered with tattoos, but all of the tattoos are stripes, like tiger stripes. You get it? So that's why this little hustler was called Tiger. He was a go-go dancer there. Now, the bar owner will not tell them how to get in touch with him, but Tobias's brothers have subpoenaed Tiger using the gay bar's address, Cupid's address, but they've still been unable to find out what his real name is other than Tiger. So he died the day that he had spent an afternoon at the Breakers with his wife and several friends who remarked that he was drinking heavily and was probably taking cocaine because of frequent trips to the restroom and his distorted speech and all the things that happen when you're doing cocaine. And everything was like a normal day, you know, the husband and wife fighting about money. They fought about money a lot, by the way. That was because the couple, that was, you know, why the police were called to the house over the domestic disturbance often. So anyway, that was the day that Tobias ended up dead in the pool. Now, when the police arrived, the wife, Philomena, actually refused to let them enter the home, and they had to come back with a warrant, and the police found a Ziploc bag with a white powdery substance and a straw. Imagine that. and they found two empty prescription bottles. That's unknown what that was. They found Tobias's eyeglasses and his drinking glass also were located in the at the bottom of the pool. And so the brothers are saying that the wife, Philomena, caused her husband to ingest one or more controlled substances that induced loss of consciousness and his capacity to breathe. Now, is anybody buying that? I mean, the guy's, you know, like a major cocaine honker, and so she, like, induced him. And she's supposed to have induced him by not stopping him from taking the cocaine, as if you can stop anyone with a supply of cocaine on hand from taking it, and promising that he could have sex with Tiger. You know, God, you can't make it up. Republicans, they just kill me, the moneyed rich. And, it's a huge scandal right now. So anyway, one of the brothers is now saying that he has a tape of Philomena confessing to him that she did all those things. But the brother who's saying he has a tape has been arrested 11 times on charges ranging from larceny to prostitution. Aha, perhaps there is a little bit of the gay gene dancing in that family. Also, he's refusing to actually provide the tape. He says he has it. He also has connections to Heidi Fleiss, the Hollywood madam. And even though all those things are true, the investigators still flew out to San Diego to the brother's home to interview him, and the police are unimpressed, and they're saying, they're just saying that there was no tape provided, and that they're not putting a lot of stock into it. So the police are saying, well, you can take it for what it's worth. So just wanted to let you know that that's what's going on in the rich white folks' neighborhood of Florida. In Jupiter, we've got Tigger-striped go-go boys and wives promising their husbands they can have sex with them. And here in the same state, nonetheless, we have finally, the fundies have finally, after 3 years, I think it is, I think it's been 3 years, they've been desperately trying to get enough petitions or signers on their petition to bring back the vote to put the Marriage Protection Amendment back on the ballot in Florida. They were defeated the last time around. They were not pleased about it, and they vowed to keep trying. Well, it's taken them almost 3 years to get the 611,000 petitions in Florida. That's a magic number. It has to do with percentage of population, blah, blah, blah. That's necessary to put that amendment up for vote in 2008. And, of course, in Florida, it means more than just, domestic partnerships, with LGBT folks, teachers, firefighters, et cetera, police officers. Also, seniors are affected. You see, many widowed seniors don't remarry, and they rely on domestic partner benefits as a literal lifeline. Here's the note. It took them 4 years to gather the signatures. So an organization in Florida called Fairness for All Families is fighting this, and I'm looking to have a representative from Fairness for All Families to tell us all about that. There are apparently all sorts of tricks they use for getting these petitions signed, folding over a piece of paper and telling them they're signing a petition for something else. You know the drill, all the standard things that they do. Fairness for All Families in Florida is pointing out, imagine if they had actually used the time and the energy to do this for constructive things, like feeding the hungry or volunteering to visit the elderly or deliver Meals on Wheels, any number of things. Work at a soup kitchen. But the energy is devoted entirely to protecting marriage from people like, oh, did I mention Tobias? Did I mention the family from Jupiter who's having sex with tiger-striped go-go boys and they're found face down in the pool? Oh, that's I get it. That's the marriage that they're trying to protect. I get it now. It's all so perfectly clear. And by the way, moving out of the state of Florida and into the rest of the country, moving up north, anything north of Atlanta, of course, in my book, is up north. So we're going to move up north. Apparently, the Republicans, the fundies, are highly incensed about the CNN YouTube debate that took place the other evening. They're saying that it was a complete sham, of course, and that they're calling it again. They're bringing up the Clinton News Network title. And they're saying that Republicans should have declined CNN's invitation, like the Democrats declined Fox News, and that Fox would have done a better job with the Democrats than CNN did with the Republicans. They're saying that the debate was structured by CNN not to highlight the candidates' differences, but to place the entire conservative agenda in a negative light. Now, can you believe that? They're upset that one of the questioners asked what criminal penalties should be imposed against an aborting mother. They're upset because they're saying that a question should have been whether criminal penalties should have been in place at all, not what the punishment would be. They're saying the purpose was to divert attention from abortion to the criminalization of pregnant women. They are upset because their question was asked about whether Jesus would approve of the death penalty. And so they're saying that CNN was orchestrating this and suggesting that the conservative people were false followers of Christ, is the quote here. Well, duh, is all I can say to that. Of course, Huckabee's brought up several times. And then, of course, there was evolution. They're really incensed about evolution. They're saying that Christians believe God revealed himself progressively and more fully in the New Testament. However, and there's always a however, the immutable God of the Old Testament is the same God as in the New Testament. And since that God made capital punishment a mandate, it wasn't retracted in the New Testament. I believe it's fair to assume Jesus would approve of the practice of the death penalty. Yes, I'm sure he'd be standing there hawking up a Budweiser and pulling the switch. There is no doubt in my mind. Then they're upset about another question that assumed that our invasion of Iraq had hurt America's image in the world. And the question was phrased in such a way as, what would the candidates do to repair the image of America? And then they say, that question was just wrong. I wish the candidates had rejected the premise altogether, defending the invasion and adding that if our image had suffered, it was largely due to the disgraceful Democratic slander against President Bush. I'm sure there was lots of looking at Reagan's picture and masturbating during the course of this event. And of course they come down to the retired general who so eloquently asked the question about what makes you believe that our military professionals are so unprofessional they could not serve with LGBT folks, and they're raging about that. They're saying that question was crafted to elicit a position to make Republicans look bigoted. Boy, they just scream like stuck pigs when they scream like stuck pigs when you start it on those people. Never ceases to amaze me. Might as well go on to Senator Toe Tapper. Over the last few days, my friends, in case you don't know, at least four or five new male hustlers or professionals, what do they call them, escorts, have come out and saying that they have had sexual relations with Toe Tap and Larry Craig. And he's, of course, said he was going to resign if, he was proven guilty. And then he wasn't going to resign until he got it overturned, and they didn't overturn it, and now he's not going to resign. So everybody's screaming hypocrite, hypocrite. So more and more people, as is often the case, when you end up in a hypocritical situation like this, more and more people are coming out and saying, yes, I had sex with him. And so anyway, this happened, where was it, Minneapolis was the last time. Well, there's a whole bunch of other people. One of the men, there's Mike Jones. He's a male prostitute. We all know that Mike Jones was the fellow who outed Ted Haggard, the preacher from Colorado, for having, a sexual relationship with him for, a couple of years. Then we have a David Phillips. Now, he's a 42-year-old information technology consultant, and he says that Craig picked him up in a gay club in 1986 and that they subsequently had sex. Then there's a fellow named Greg Ruth, and he is a 24-year-old college Republican. In 1981 he was, and he says that Craig hit on him at a Republican meeting in Coeur d'Alene. Then there's it's amazing to me. Then there's Tom Russell, who's now 48. He's formerly from some city, doesn't matter where. He currently lives in Utah. And Russell said that his encounter with Craig occurred at some place called the Bogus Basin in the early 1980s. Now, a fifth gay man who's from Boise, he's declining to be named because he doesn't want any retaliation. He is saying that He was in a men's room at the Denver International Airport in September of 06 when the man in the next stall moved his hand slowly, palm up, under the divider. Sound like an MO that you guys know? And he was alarmed, and he waited outside the men's room to see who would come out because he was curious who would do that, and he recognized them, recognized him as Craig. So so at least at this point, four men are willing to go on record about to... And, you know, Craig has been denying that he was gay since 1982. This stuff started back in 1982. I'm not gay. And that's when he issued a denial that involved a sex scandal between congressmen and underage pages. And he appeared alongside his wife, and she's a 62-year-old, I believe she is. And the NBC News asked him, are you technically not a homosexual? Is it possible you're bisexual? And the senator replied, no to both. And his wife said, I honestly believe my husband's always been faithful to me in every way. And she says that the persistent press rumors about her husband having secret homosexual life and describing the incidents coming from these people, it's an invasion of her privacy. And she says, I knew immediately it wasn't the truth, because the description he gave of Larry in some areas that only I know about, honey, they know about his penis in every restroom from here to Missouri, that only I know about were wrong on three counts. I could go along with this, but in the consideration of better taste, I'm gonna let it drop there. But anyway, it's all, nobody really gives a damn what he does and better, who he pays. You know, it's just that his voting record on gay rights is always throwing gay folks under the bus. It's been going on years and years and years and years and years, and it's just your standard Republican BS. So anyway, today we have Mike Jones, and I put Mike Jones together with the world's most fabulous gay dance singer, who would be Hazel Dean, for a little statement from Mike Jones regarding Larry Craig. Bob, would you run that?
The one thing that stands out about this man, besides the fact that I recognized him and heard and recognized his voice when he spoke, was here's a man who, within the first 5 minutes of seeing me, said, do you follow politics, Mike? Which is such a strange statement, anyway, to begin with. And then he didn't follow up on it. He basically changed the subject. When I said yes, he said, oh, gee, it's cold outside. And that's in my mind. You have to understand, people in my business, you know, we're pretty good about figuring out people very quickly based on things they say or things they do. And so when he said that, in my mind, I go, oh, he's a politician, which was not my first by any means. But it didn't matter to me. That's not what I was in business for, was to really figure all that out or try to trap people. But it was a clear indication that he was a politician to me. And then he did something that only a few people did that saw me through the years, and that is he kept his clothes on.
Elaborate on that,
well,
please.
Well, he took his dress shirt off, and he had a T-shirt on, and he undid his zipper and pulled his penis out, and he performed oral sex on me.
And if you're wondering who the go-go boy was during that last segment, that was indeed Tiger. Tiger is coming to us from the Cupid Bar down there in Jupiter, Florida. And since he's no longer being paid by the dead man to dance for him in his little Tigger stripes, he was available to join us this evening. So that was Mr. Tigger from Cupid in South Florida dancing to the Larry Craig Hazel Dean segment. Can't make it up. It's all true. You ever heard of divine providence? Well, If you have, then you've, of course, heard of Providence, Rhode Island. Well, we're having some divine providence from Providence, Rhode Island, and that is that the religious leaders there of several denominations are all getting aboard the bus, if you will, in their support for same-gender marriage. They announced an advertising campaign intended to get the word out to dispel any impression that religion and religious people do not support same-sex, same-gendered marriage. They're saying, we wanted to make a point that there are religious folks who are in favor of same-gender marriage. This is from a reverend of the Riverside Congregational United Church of Christ. He's also chairman of the Rhode Island Religious Coalition for Same-Gender Marriage. He says it's a different kind of pulpit. You see, they've started an advertising campaign. You know how city buses have the huge ads on the side of them? Well, they're running an advertising campaign on the sides of the city buses in Providence, Rhode Island. About a dozen religious leaders and supporters showed the signs off on the buses at the Rhode Island Public Transit Authority headquarters. It was yesterday afternoon, and the advertisements are going to run on 10 buses for a total of a month. And the advertisement depicts dozens of religious leaders standing in a crowd, and they're carrying the message, Rhode Island religious leaders supporting same-gender marriage. And they're trying to dispel any impression that religion opposes same-sex marriage and is anti-gay. The story goes on for a little way, but I just thought that was interesting that it's coming from Providence. My mind works in mysterious ways. Let's see, it is 9:36, and I think what we should probably do is go to a break. Again, I am Peter Godbold. This is Strictly Confidential. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4, head-on, or 877-443-2366, or 304-658-3333. We'll be back on the other side of the break.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Yeah, my name is
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Thursday on Fox Stop at midnight Eastern, where we'll take a look at Lenny Kravitz.
The spiritual, you know. It's very important to me. It should be important to all of us, you know. It's like, especially the situation that the world is in, you know. I think it's time for people to really start to think about this whole universe and where we come from and where we're going and get involved.
So be there Thursday midnight on Fox Stop, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Gay and transgender people are part of every community.
We are your neighbors, your coworkers, your family.
If someone you know comes out, be willing to listen.
You have the power to make a difference by treating others with dignity and respect.
Choose to be an ally and a friend.
Find out how. Go to glad.org. That's GLAAD.org.
You're not the first who's trying.
Dancing. Gosh, I love that song. I have the most remarkable thing to play for you. And it just goes to show that I simply could not do this program without the faithful listeners or without the help of the people in chat, main chat, and production chat who keep me on the straight and narrow and give me and type in tips when I lose my train of thought. They sort of lead me around. I've got to tell you, I got an email from our good friend Betsy, Supermom Betsy, and she sent me a link to an audio clip. It's actually video audio clip, but of course I have the audio, from the site called Feministing, feministing.com. And if you recall our dear friend Julia Serrano, who's our transsexual guest, we've had her on the show twice. She's a prolific writer. She writes for Feministing. So it was, I of course, immediately went there. I was from Feministing. And the clip is called Lesbian Phone Sex. Now, I've got to tell you, it's not scandalous, but it's just about the most fabulous thing. And Betsy, thank you so much for sending this clip. I knew right away when I heard it I was going to run it this evening. Bob, would you run the lesbian phone sex clip, please?
Hi. You've reached 1-900 Lady. For hot one-on-one talk with real girls who dig real girls. If you're under 18, you must hang up now. And if you're a law enforcement officer, well, kudos to you for breaking into a traditionally male-dominated field. To be connected to one of our fantasy females, press 1.
Hi. I'm Jackie. What's your name?
Sharon.
Hi, Sharon. What are you into?
I don't know. I'm kind of nervous.
It's okay. We can take it slow. Do you like it slow, Sharon?
Okay.
So, Sharon, guess what?
What?
I'm not wearing any clothes that were made in sweatshops. I refuse to support the exploitation of third world labor.
Wow, that's pretty hot.
Can I tell you what I'd like to do with you, Sharon?
Okay.
First, I'd move in real close. And then I'd open up a dialogue about the hypocrisy of religious fundamentalism.
Wow.
And then we'd organize grassroots support for progressive political candidates.
Oh. Yes, mama.
And you know what else, baby?
Oh, what?
I'm working on a documentary.
Oh. Wow.
I got a really big grant.
Oh, nice.
Come on, Sharon. Tell me what you want.
I want domestic partner benefits and women's reproductive freedom.
Oh, yeah. I'll march on your nation's capital.
Yeah. I want season tickets to the WNBA.
I've got two on the floor. Cheryl Suits will sweat on you.
I want the L word to be written better.
Can't help you there, but I can organize a vegan pop-up.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
What else do you want, Sheriff?
I want baggage. Give me a hot baggage.
Yeah, I am totally obsessed with my ex-girlfriend.
Home Depot, Home Depot, Home Depot.
And you know what else, Sheriff?
What?
I'm gonna give all the profits from this call to Greenpeace.
I thought I was going to die laughing. Instead of saying, don't stop, stop, don't stop, she was screaming, Depot home, Depot home, Depot. Oh, my God. Betsy, that was just amazing to me. You may be able to locate that. The link is fairly long if you want to see the video that goes with that on the feministing. But it'd probably be easier for you to locate it by just going. It was a YouTube slice there on the feministing site, so it'd probably be easier for you to go to YouTube and type in a search for lesbian phone sex. And incredibly funny. Oh God, who knew? Let's see. We have a caller. We have caller Jim. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey Peter, how you doing?
I'm doing well this evening. It's nice to have a Just Us evening. And I haven't done a Just Us evening in a while, and so I'm back to my stacks of paper and all my little yellow highlighters and my orange highlighters. I'm doing okay, though.
Well, I'm just sitting here with a bottle of Locker Room and just got out of a cold shower.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Okay, Poppers has officially been we've officially brought up Poppers in the show. Way to go, Jim.
That's the craziest damn thing I've ever heard in my life. My God.
Oh, it's hysterical. You got to go over to YouTube and do the search on lesbian phone sex. It adds another dimension to it. It's really fabulous. Home Depot. Home Depot. Oh, Jesus. I love my lesbian friends, and that was just hysterical.
You know, you were talking about Larry Craig there for a minute.
Yeah, I got onto his case again.
Yeah. You know, I used to ride a good bit when I was younger, and I just wondered, does he ride a stride or side saddle? That's always one way you can tell.
Well, one way to tell, too, might be to note how he sits on the potty if he sits on his side saddle.
Well,
Jesus.
I mean, you know, maybe they have bathrooms that have the doors marked pointers and setters. I don't know. But I was just thinking, wouldn't it have been really strange if he had lost his balance and did a cartwheel like that guy I told you about and landed on his head?
Wouldn't that have been just justice? That would have really been justice, yeah. They'd have carried him out.
What the news have done with that?
Yeah, he would have probably made it some sort of a case about the floor wax.
I don't know what's going on, and some of the stuff that, well, it's all too much. It really is. It's all too much. And this guy, when I look at him, well, all I can say is beauty is truly in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, I get a major ew going when I look at him. You know, he got married immediately, all within months of when this first started back in 1982, when he first began saying, I'm not gay, I'm not gay. That was back in 82. He got married immediately after that. It's funny how that works, isn't it?
Well, I guess he had to resort to camouflage.
Yes, camouflage.
But that is the way of always disappearing. That's for sure. But anyway, I just want to let you know that I'm just running around my old Southern mansion, and I was sitting at my spinet piano playing Hush Charlotte, waiting for
Jesus.
There on the front porch, and see if I can knock flower pots off on cousin Miriam and the doctor. And she wants to know that Miss Helen's portieres are now safely in the trunk. We put up level or blind.
That was a nice modern touch to do that to the mansion.
Really, I mean, you know, they're easy to aim the rifle through, really, actually.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. Serves as some type of rest for the carbine. But how have you been? I haven't talked to you in a while, and I've sort of been off the air myself.
Well, I have been fine, and I've been following your movie advice. I got in a copy of Pink Flamingos the other day, and I was reminded of the eggs. You were talking about it one night, but the eggs and the I've just now started watching it. I had to stop it somewhere in the middle, but I'm recalling how absolutely demented.
I've got letters from that woman.
What?
Hey, I used to write to Edith Nasty.
Okay. Did you like wrote it on little scraps of paper, you know, after
no,
the war?
When I first saw that movie years ago, she ran an antique store in Baltimore, and it was called Miss Edie's Thrift Shop. And she used to have all this junk, and she'd sit up there, and I think John Waters first met her in a tavern. She served as a barmaid. And the poor thing, you know, he pictures himself as sort of a Andy Warhol, but he thought that's where he found her. And anyway, so wrote her a letter, and she wrote back, and then she moved to Venice, California, and she would write, the first couple sentences would be fairly cogent, and then she'd start talking about people were kiting bad checks on her and stuff like that. And then at the height of her career, she left us and passed away, you know, that type of thing, poor Miss Edie.
Well, you gotta love that the whole concept of Pink Flamingos. It was just genius to have her in the crib and the whole egg thing and the whole demented mother thing.
At least, you know, for her, it's happily because she married the buttered egg man and they carted her away in a wheelbarrow. Which, you know, at that wedding and what I thought she did a real good job with was in polyester. Remember, have you ever seen polyester?
I have, Jim, but I can't recall it. I just can't place it. It's been many years. Back in the 80s, I saw it.
Yeah. You know, when she, all of a sudden, she's some woman's maid, and she inherits all her money, and she becomes a debutante, and she and her counterpart, Divine's having real problems with her husband, who is running around on her with Mink Soul, and
that's right, the Mink Stole. Oh, just incredible genius.
And he runs Charles Art Theater, this nasty movie house. And so to cheer Divine up, he takes her out on a picnic, and they're sitting there, and she says, Francine, Divine's name is Francine Fishpaw, and she says, we've got ants in our pants because they put the picnic blanket down on an anthill, and then this skunk comes up and sprays them. And of course, you know, you had your scratch and sniff cards, and then of course.
Oh yes, I remember. Yes, I remember it now. In when you mentioned the scratch, I actually saw that in a theater back in the 80s. And yes, there were these scratch and sniff cards for, and it would be skunk and perfume, and it was a disgusting movie.
He put gasoline, and then number two was when her husband broke, went in bed, and stuff like that. It was just absolutely mad. It was just. I enjoyed the 80s, except for some other things that happened in that period of time. But I found that old scratch and sniff card in a drawer.
Oh, God, you are kidding me. You saved that back all these years? Now, that's a hoot. I've often wondered what became of mine.
Well, yeah, I found mine the other day. And, you know, I'll tell you, if you really want to see one of John Waters' latest, you can see his lecture. It's called It's a Filthy World. And his latest movie, of course, is It's a Dirty Shame with Chris Isaac. And it's just the wildest thing in the world. And, but, you know, John Waters has just become totally mainstream. He's on Broadway now with Hairspray.
That's amazing.
How things go around. This guy who couldn't get through. Well, he was in New York University, I think, and he got thrown out for smoking pot. And then he always liked to make films, and the first film he made was on the roof of his parents' house. His father was a mailman. Father's
really?
In his 90s, yeah. I happened to meet John one time at a coffee house. And, you know, he just say hello. Just very unassuming individual, and with that temple mustache. He's real thin. Just kind of, you know, you never think, but he could have made it real big. He really has. It's amazing.
Yes, certainly has.
He's a pretty wealthy guy one day with all this crazy stuff that he's done.
Yes, but indeed.
It is amazing to see what's going on with some of the people, in, you know, and you know, with like Senator Craig and this woman you were talking about in Florida, and the double lives a lot of these people lead. Of course, I guess there are a few Democrats who probably did the same thing, you know. I think you have that kind of behavior on both sides of the aisle, wouldn't you say?
Well, absolutely, Jim. You know, in fact, there's a story buried here in this stack somewhere. I'm going to talk about the fundies all went to the Folsom Street Fair, which is, you probably know, is in San Francisco and is really a subculture of the subculture of the subculture. It's the bondage and discipline people, and they walk around nude and you know, and all these, and, you know, basically, I don't want to see anybody's straight ass, and I don't want to see anybody's gay ass hanging out. But so basically, that's why I wouldn't go to a Folsom Street Fair, even if I lived in San Francisco. But of course, the fundies all had to show up, and you know, if the thing is this, like, it's this huge deal that, you know, there's this sick subculture in the gay community. Well, duh, it's just a mirror of the sick subculture in the straight community. Everybody's got a sick subculture somewhere.
I guess so. You mentioned that he went to Mar-a-Lago, and
that's
Donald Trump's home in. It was owned by Marjorie Meriwether Post. That's the place that she built, I think, in the 30s, wasn't it?
Well, you know, I was trying to place that, and when I read it earlier today, I was thinking hotel, like the Breakers. But now that you mention it, yes, it's some big, fabulous home with a name. I recall that
right. Vaguely
now.
The family, and Marjorie Meriwether Post built that. It was absolutely fabulous. But I'll tell you something, and this is being totally serious now. She had a home in Washington called Hillwood.
Yeah.
And it is one of the best kept secrets in Washington today. It's a place to visit. If you ever having lived in D.C., I know this, I've been there several times. But if you want to see a collection of Russian artwork, Fabergé eggs, and things from the Romanov period, I believe there are just as many Fabergé eggs there is probably or less in the Kremlin or in Malcolm Forbes' collection. And it's just incredible what Hillwood is, and that's where Mrs. Post finally died. I think she died back in 73, and her ashes are interred in the garden. But to any of the listeners in the D.C. area or people who are going to Washington, if they really want to see a fantastic place, and you can look it up on the web, Hillwood, it is one of the most beautiful places you've ever seen in your life, and the contents are just outside of any national museum, unsurpassed.
I'll have to do a Google on that. And it's funny that you had mentioned Fabergé eggs in the same conversation where we're talking about Miss Edie.
Poor Miss Edie. I don't think she was. I don't think Carl Peter Fabergé could have. I think Miss Edie liked the same thing because she was always worried about what would happen if the Eggman stopped coming, or this, that, and the other, and I don't know how they got you to do all that stuff. And, you know, he did that movie on a budget of $10,000.
That's amazing.
He did it, and they found this whole trailer, and it was so cold in there. You could, if you watched the movie, you could see their breath. I mean, there was no...
Well, yeah. Yeah, and the paint in the trailer, it was all very low rent rendezvous. Great stuff.
Yeah, it was. It was. You know, and it was just a part of outrageousness. It's sort of gone by the way. But when you were talking to the gentleman from Indiana, or Miss Delicious, I think her name.
Yes, that was a hoot.
Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking one thing I wanted to say to her, that, you know, not too far from her is Piru, Indiana, and guess who was born and grew up there?
I shudder to think who's there.
Cole Porter.
Oh, is that a fact?
Well,
Indiana has no shortage. It seems like we did another music guest from Indiana. Well, Jim, it's top of the hour. It's 9:59, and well, now it's there. What split there? going to have to run the news. Jim, I appreciate your call. And, and it's always interesting talking.
Just a lot of bantering around. But anyway, cat and dog stuff. But it was just my way of just saying hello and how are you? And
thank you.
Doing well, and doggy's doing well. And
yeah.
I want to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas and a happy holiday, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Jim, and God bless.
You too.
And that was good evening, sir. That was caller Jim from an undisclosed mansion in North Carolina. And so we are at the top of the hour now, so we'll run our top of the hour break. This is Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold. The telephone number is 877, the number 4, head on.
This is the Quality News Network. 9 people are dead, 5 are wounded after a gunman opened fire at a crowded shopping mall in Omaha, Nebraska, and then turned the gun on himself. The shooter has been tentatively identified as 20-year-old Robert A. Hawkins of Omaha. Authorities say Hawkins left a suicide note behind that was found by his mother. The note reportedly says he, quote, wanted to go out in style, unquote. It is the second mass shooting at an American shopping mall this year. Back in February, 5 people were killed in Salt Lake City. Authorities then fatally shot the 18-year-old gunman to death. Hurricane force wind and rain heading into Canada now, but not before leaving a path of destruction across the Pacific Northwest. At least 5 people have died. Meantime, residents are cleaning up and state workers are trying to open flooded highways and public buildings damaged by driving rain and wind. Congressional investigators warn of a high risk of catastrophic runway crash occurring at a U.S. airport. That's according to the Government Accountability Office, an investigative arm of Congress. The report points to overworked air traffic controllers, malfunctioning technology, and a lack of federal leadership as reasons why a major runway accident could happen at any time. President Bush will speak to the U.S. subprime mortgage crisis tomorrow after crafting an agreement between banks and mortgage companies to freeze subprime rates for the next 5 years. The Supreme Court is deciding whether or not to reverse a lower court decision, which basically ruled that 36 prisoners at Guantanamo Bay have no constitutional rights. Some have been held without charge for more than 6 years. A car bomb exploded in central Baghdad today, killing at least 14 people. Another 8 people died in other attacks throughout the country. Another suicide bombing in Afghanistan today. At least 16 police recruits were killed in Kabul. In Gaza this morning, 3 Hamas militants passed away. They died in an Israeli airstrike. And attorneys general in 9 states filing lawsuits against tobacco giant R.J. Reynolds. The suits claim Camel cigarette ads in November's issue of Rolling Stone magazine breach a 9-year-old promise not to use cartoons to sell tobacco. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll be back after this message.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking.
So what do you look for when you decide where you're going to put all your millions?
Well, I haven't printed up enough to put it in the bank yet, but I guess for convenience and... pretty much, it's like a grocery market. You get to meet the people there, and you build a little rapport with some of them.
You know, it's a local bank, but it's part of a network of local banks that give you big bank services.
Everything that I need as far as banking is concerned, they have it. Online banking is great for me. So I just like the services that they offer.
You ever taken your dog Cindy to the bank?
As a matter of fact, when I went to open my account, she was with me.
Ah!
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we have a horse come through one of these days. We got a lot of cowboys come in and out of here, too.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
A group of economic researchers say that a recession is looming for the U.S. economy in the first half of next year. That's due to a slump in consumer spending and a loss of some of the fundamentals that helped keep the economy going this year. The Anderson Center of Orange County, California, says the gross domestic product will shrink by 1% in the first quarter and by 1.9% in the second. There's been an unexpected rise in orders to U.S. factories during the month of October, although some of the gain is due to higher energy prices. The Commerce Department reports that orders jumped by 0.5%. That's a half point better than the flat rate that had been expected. GE is recalling 92,000 microwave combo wall ovens because of fire danger. The U.S.-made ovens were sold under the GE and Kenmore labels. Drug maker Bristol-Myers Squibb already beginning layoff of 10% of its workforce. The move is part of a restructuring plan that will save $1.5 billion by 2010. Lights Creek crude oil is trading at $87.49 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange, gold trading at $803.70 an ounce. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 196 points to end at 13,445, the NASDAQ up 46 points, S&P 500 up 22. There's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
And he's back, riding across America on a horse named Strictly Confidential, a man who knows his way around a pair of chaps. Here's your host, Peter Godbold.
And he's back, Peter Godbold, on the Head On Radio Network. This is Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and that's my story. I'm sticking to it. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4. Head on. That translates into 877-443-2366. If you have unlimited long distance, please use that area code 304-658-3333. That rings in West Virginia. Mail arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. And this is listener-supported radio. Do stop by headonradionetwork.com. You'll see a PayPal button there, and you can help to keep the streamers passing packets and the monitors monitoring and the headphones listening and the microphones listening and the whole nine yards. It's a wonderful thing to support. There's not really anything else like this out there. There's progressive radio out there if you're willing to listen to the commercials. God, this Head On Radio Network has really burned me out for commercials. I just can't tolerate them anymore. But nonetheless, everybody has to make a buck to survive. Nothing's free, and our stream is not free, and our hosting is not free. So we have to pay for all those things. And so thank you so much for your support. That's at headonradionetwork.com. Earlier, just before the break, I mentioned the Folsom Street thing. Actually, I had brought that up about a month or so ago when it first happened. Lots of controversy about that. Strictly brought up by the Americans for Truth about homosexuality, which is Peter LaBarbera. I think I'm pronouncing his name right. I always want to call him Peter the Barbarian, but it's Peter LaBarbera. And he's bringing it back up again. You see, the Folsom Street Fair takes place in San Francisco in an area, well, it's on Folsom Street. Now, Folsom Street is I guess some would call it the core of a gay area. Lots of gay clubs, gay restaurants, and anyway, the Folsom Street Fair has over the years turned into a carnival of the most extreme fringes of the gay world. All sorts of fetishes and the bondage and the leather and the dog collars, the leashes, the whole bit. Now, frankly, as I was saying earlier, if I lived in San Francisco, I wouldn't go there because I would probably be offended and unable to handle it, but that's solely because of my background. If you ask people who actually live in the area, people who live just a block away who are going about their own business and didn't intend to go, if you ask those people, they would just give you c'est la vie, whatever, makes them happy, it's not bothering me. That's the general attitude of San Francisco. So in one respect, you know, who the hell cares what's going on Folsom Street during this parade? You know, frankly, I've a little conflicted about this. I've said earlier, I don't want to see anybody's straight ass hanging out. I don't want to see anybody's gay ass hanging out. But nonetheless, that's what they do. You know, what can I tell you? Anyway, the American family is not the American family. They're usually the guilty culprit. The Americans for Truth About Homosexuality showed up there and shot video, and they were very upset that some of the people brought kids there. You know, as if that was going to affect the kid in some way. You know, what really is appalling to me is that some people let their kids grow up to be Republicans without bashing them in the head with a rock. But that's a whole different story. So anyway, they're very upset, too, that the Folsom Street Fair is a 501c3 nonprofit and that the Folsom Street activities took place September 30th. They received an official welcome from San Francisco's mayor, Gavin Newsom. And, you know, I'm not aware of a heterosexual activity like this, even in a, you know, a closed-in area where, you know, it was considered very, very, very straight. And the bondage and discipline fetish people from the heterosexual community did the equivalent. I'm not aware of that. Maybe there is something like that. I don't know. Really don't care. But the point is that the Folsom Street Fair arouses very little interest except for the people who want to go to it, unless it's invaded by something like a Peter. And he took a hand-delivered letter to the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office on Tuesday. And he is urging the Democratic leader to condemn what he believes is both immoral and illegal happening in her congressional district. He's quoting at least two legal violations. Police didn't seem to be concerned about it, but he's very concerned about it. And that was nudity. And he claims there were sexual acts on the street. I don't know if I believe that or not, but then again, I haven't seen the video. And, you know, he says, I dare say that if 99% of Americans, including Pelosi, were here to witness what was on the streets, we'd be shocked and dismayed. Well, you know, I've thought about those things, too, and I could go on a whole trip about, you know, you really shouldn't be doing that. You're making a bad name for the gay community. But the gay community is big and wide and just as twisted and distorted as the straight community. I got news for you. There's some pretty twisty straight people out there. But anyway, just want to touch on that. Oh, there's a short audio clip of the people, the Americans for Truth About Homosexuality, getting all upset about it. I have that. Bob, if you'd run that, it's just a short clip.
The grassroots activist group Americans for Truth About Homosexuality held a news conference today to show reporters 6 minutes of its video footage from the Folsom Street Fair in San Francisco. Large numbers of men and women roamed the streets naked and engaged in group orgies and sadomasochistic activities at the September 30th festival, which received an official welcome from San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom. The Folsom Street Fair is a 501c3 nonprofit group. Americans for Truth President Peter LaBarbera said he hand-delivered a letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office Tuesday, urging the Democratic leader to condemn what he believes was both an immoral and illegal event.
Again, the chat room saves me because the chat room points out, hey, you ever heard of Mardi Gras? Yep, I had forgotten about that. I was trying to come up with some kind of equivalent. Yeah, Mardi Gras is pretty wild there, too, and some pretty wild things go on in the street. So anyway, it's just it's a feature. It is a service provided to you by the Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. Anyway, no sense in dwelling on that. I do want to tell you this story, though. After this story, by the way, we're going to go into a, you know, Bobby Vettoretti was with us last night, who I worship at his feet. He is the man. He is the master who did these incredible remixes using reel-to-reel tape and razor blades and splicing and the whole bit. We're going to run one of or two of his tracks if we can get to them this evening. We'll run one of those right after the this next story. But this is from the Wingnut folks, the Wingnut Daily, another group of nutcases. And they are very upset that Alaska Airlines and Horizon Air have announced a program that will, now see the way they put it, the program charges heterosexuals 10% extra for air travel. What the program really is it offers a 10% discount, but only if the purchasers obtain the tickets by going through a gay page of the company's website. Now, the location, of course, is not normally patronized by families who are seeking travel arrangements, but many of the gay folks do go to it, to the page. Let's see, what is the name of the page? I have a note here somewhere. It's something like Gay Travel or something like that. It's one of the sub-pages off the Alaska Airlines Horizon Airlines thing. So anyway, there's a Brian Fisher of the Idaho Values Alliance. Now, that sounds like a group of people I just love to party with. They told the Wingnut Daily that the company boasts of non-discrimination policies, but they're blatantly discriminating against heterosexuals in their pricing structure. Now, the word for the discount, the word about it leaked out from an airline employee who wants to remain anonymous because of fear of retaliation. No doubt a fundy who's leaking this out, and you know, why else would it be a big deal? The employee reported the company had sent emails announcing a soft launch, which is not unusual in the business industry, a soft launch of the new promotion. They're giving preferences to male – I can't make this stuff up. I'm reading it. They're giving preferences to male passengers who want to wear dresses on the plane. And they're giving them preference over married couples. Fisher is saying that. He's noting that families typically buy more tickets than individuals wearing dresses, meaning males. So he says it just doesn't seem like smart business, but blah, 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 blah. And that this sort of a discount for a group of people is, in fact, discriminatory. You ever heard of a business discount or business flyers? You don't see the links to buying those tickets on just every page on the web or every page of an airline site. Those are typically when you go into the business sections, you find out about travel to major cities for conferences and this sort of thing. There are all sorts of discounts. There's discounts for women who are carrying a 4-year-old with three legs. There are discounts for business travelers. Apparently, this company is the first company to offer any sort of discount for LGBT folks. But you see, what they're saying here is that you must identify yourself as a homosexual or a lesbian or bisexual or transgendered to take advantage of it, which is, of course, completely not true. All you have to do is go on the website and order your tickets from the buttons or what have you on that particular page. You certainly don't have to identify as anything. Apparently, after Wingnut Daily inquired into it, they changed the name of the page from Gay Travel to New York City on Sale, meaning they're featuring various destinations for LGBT folks that they might be interested in going. They're listing things like, let's see, where we go. There's several. Here we go. They're promoting flights to the 5th Los Angeles LGBT People of Color Film Festival and the 8th National Conference of Gay and Lesbian Tourism, probably Fort Lauderdale. There's an article about that. Fort Lauderdale tourism is bounding back rather well since everyone is ignoring the mayor down there. So it's not about identifying yourself. It's simply a marketing program, but, of course, they have it all turned around that the promo is to charge you heterosexual folks 10% more for traveling in the holidays, as if it's illegal for an airline to offer a discount. You ever heard of a family discount? How many times have I gone somewhere where there's a family discount? And, I couldn't get it because I wasn't part of a family. This happens every day, and I don't mean to dismiss anyone who's trying to find a bargain to get home to see mom and dad, during Christmas. But by all means, go to the gay page at Alaska Airlines at Horizon Air. You do not have to tell them what you do in bed. You only have to order your tickets from that page, and you will probably get your 10% discount, which is very upsetting to World Net Daily. And as promised, as DJ Bobby Vitoretti was here last evening, there's a couple of wonderful tracks, I wanted to do. The first one I wanted to run for you this evening is a track called "Dancing the Night Away." Now that is by a group called Vogue, and Bobby did a absolutely stunning. It's the most stunningly beautiful remix I've heard in quite some time. It's just a wonderful dance track. He did this with reel-to-reel tape and razor blades and turntables and lots of loves. There's no electronic editing here. And this is a track, again, Bob, it's Disc 1, Part 8, and it's called Dancing the Night Away.
Thank you.
Wow. I'm just a pushover for that track. And the word flawless is absolutely not too strong to use. I defy anyone to tell me where he remixed that using razor blades and whatever equipment was handy. Absolutely marvelous job. And that was always a wonderful late night favorite, Dancing Light Away, and extended beautifully by Bobby Vitaretti, who was our guest last evening. I'm going to try to get in another one of his tracks a little bit later. I want to do a couple of stories. It's an astounding version of I Think We're Alone Now that I think you'll really enjoy. I want to tell you a story about Australia first. Australia is apparently et up with the same disease the United States is regarding Christians and Christian bookstores. You see, in Australia, Christian bookstores are boycotting and refusing to sell a new gay Bible guide. Now, mind you, this is not a gay Bible. It is not the Queen James Version or the New American Disco Standard. It is simply a Bible study guide, and this particular Bible study guide treats the what we call the clobber verses, the verses that they normally beat us about the head with, from Genesis and Leviticus and Corinthians and Timothy, Paul, lists them all here, and won't go into any detail on that. If you're interested in finding out more about that, just go to Metropolitan Community Church's main site. Just Google it, Metropolitan Community Church. You'll find wonderful resources there. But the point is that they're refusing to even stock copies of the new study guide that challenges all the standard Bible study guides that say that gay folks are sinful and deviant and evil, et cetera, et cetera. This is written in the in Australia. There's a U.S. distributor. It's called God's Word to Women. And they have banned the Australian publication and withdrawn another Bible translation published by the same, I think it's New South Wales Publishing House. They are very upset that it is promoting a gay lifestyle in contradiction of Scripture. Why is it that everything is promoting? Why can't it just be a better understanding for people who are interested? If you're not interested in it, by God, don't look. But there are many people who are deeply concerned about it. But anyway, two American academics have asked that their endorsement be removed from any other works by a classical Greek lexicographer. And her name is Anne Nyland, because of her authorship of the Gay Study Bible. And Australia's largest Christian retailer says it will not carry the... And by the way, it's called Study New Testament Guide for Gay, Lesbian, Bi, and Transgendered. The study guide says, Dr. Nolan, the study guide is saying that the word has been... various words have been wrongly assumed to mean homosexual. However, the range of meaning is far broader. And it says, since we made the Gay and Lesbian Study Guide available... leading evangelists who previously recommended our books have withdrawn with endorsement from all of our books. You see, it's all very political. It's not that their other books changed, and it's not that they're trying to get the truth out to people. It's all about, stifling anyone who challenges. They want to ban everything that publishing house puts out because they have dared to put out a work that even discusses homosexuality, which would be commonly available in Christian bookstores. Now, by God, you can order this stuff on the internet. You can, print pages and all these discussions, but we just can't have that in a bookstore. Boy, I bet that's got the Baptists upset. And in the story department that comes under the heading, damn, where are the details? And I have looked all over for the details. I cannot find them. I have a three-paragraph article, three very short paragraphs from the Buffalo News. And it reads, the headline, man accused of assault over homosexual display. And I think that he is not referring to a well-done department store window. I believe he is referring to a, some other sort of homosexual display. It reads, a Buffalo resident was charged with assault Saturday morning after he allegedly punched a man in the face because he was upset with an open display of homosexuality. First paragraph. Niagara County Sheriff deputy said the victim had been drinking and playing games at a River Road home when the suspect, reportedly intoxicated, became upset with a, quote, homosexual display. And it says, after a brief confrontation, the victim was punched in the face, causing minor injuries. Deputies charged Alan King, 45, with third-degree assault. Am I the only one wondering what this homosexual display was? This has got to win the 2007 award for the the least comprehensive news article ever, and the news article which causes more questions than it does answer ever. Maybe one of these days we'll find out what the homosexual display was, but I assume it was not a department store window. Another very brief story. Pimp C, he's a homophobic rapper. Pimp C, he's half of the rap duo Underground Kings, was found dead in a Hollywood hotel room on Tuesday. My heart breaks. Pimp C was known for his foul mouth and anti-gay commentary and what he called Southern rap. His rap music was full of foul language and advocated offing gay folks, and he earlier this year launched a gay bashing tirade. Anyway, he was found dead in his hotel room. I don't know why. It doesn't really say why. They're doing toxicology, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, all I can say about that is another one bites the dust. He is also, his big said, okay, I'm not going to use the words. I'll just, and if ya, Y-A, and if ya F, and it's words there, and if ya F boys in the arse, then don't be trying to F with girls too, cause you be poisoning the, shall I say, kitty population with your shit, old dirty arse, than the word for the male member. So, you know, here we have another one who wants to defend the women so he can have them all. He does not. He seems to be very upset that the gay folks might be taking some of his women. Oh, what can I tell you? These people. And by the way, tourism is going well in Fort Lauderdale. A couple of days ago, both the Queen Mary and the Queen Elizabeth II were docked at Port Everglades, and the city of Fort Lauderdale said, it told a group of 200 attendants, there are never enough queens in Fort Lauderdale. You gotta love that. That was a national convention, the Greater Fort Lauderdale Convention Visitors Bureau, a group of travel professionals, and they were discussing how Fort Lauderdale will become the number one gay destination, blah, 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 blah. You know, that's in Florida. I really ought to go down there and see what the hell's going on. And they talk about money spent and how embarrassed they were over Mayor Nagel and how she wrote apologies to everyone about his conduct, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, Fort Lauderdale's doing well. I imagine that Alaska and Horizon Air are offering that 10%. If you're straight, it's going to cost you 10% more to get down there. Oh, my stars. The world, the world, the world. And speaking of rap music, Brighton has become the first British city to prohibit the racist and homophobic rap music, reggae, from Jamaica. It's being called murder music, and it usually explicitly details putting bullets in. In fact, one of the songs is called Boom Bye Bye, which apparently advocated shooting gay men. So this is really kind of interesting. You know, in the United States, we couldn't get away with that for to say we're reducing or suppressing free speech. But nonetheless, they are actively, they're saying that free speech does not give you the freedom to incite hatred against minorities. Interesting how that all works. Of course, in the United States, free speech is used to advocate hatred, and No, it's interesting how things are going. And I think Sweden, too, has a pretty strong insightful speech law. It's hard to know. All of our freedoms are being taken away anyway. We might as well clamp down on that over here. We're at 10:40. I definitely want to get this track in. This track will easily fit in the rest of the program. It is the second track I wanted to run from Bobby that we didn't get to last night. It's the I Think We're Alone Now mix. This is one that Bobby did for Disconet, which is, as you already know, I worship at their shrine. And this is the Scott Allen version of I Think We're Alone Now that Bobby Vittoretti remixed for Disconet. And, Bob, that is Disc 2, Part 5. Thank you. Wow. You know, music like that, and it's not just the fabulous, flawless mixes, but, you know, it just takes the fight out of me. I could feel it the last segment. You know, we had played Dancing the Night Away, and when we came back from that, I just lost all my aggression against those people. I guess I'm just a sucker for love music. I really have to start running it separate. I can't stay mean after listening to stuff like that. I do want to get in a couple of little things here toward the end of the show. A piece of good news. There is a tough job market for the GOP. And, you know, the story goes to say that, you know, after all the scandals and the way the GO party is being laughed at almost universally, that the article points out that job paths in politics normally follow a fairly similar pattern. You know, young, motivated folks, they typically start with a low-paying job, you know, some sort of a gig working for the members of Congress, and then they move up the food chain, and they find, you know, lucrative opportunities, outsiders, consulting firms offer to hire them, and this is how they worm their way up. Well, the career path of the Republicans is looking a little bit grim now. Here's an example. The communications director for Representative Todd Chart, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, he is a Republican from Kansas, told his colleagues he is leaving the Hill and he's going to work. You gotta love this. He's going to work to manage a Holiday Inn Express in Kansas. Oh, God, talk about a meltdown. I'm so glad I'm alive to see this. And another GOP staffer has been quoted as saying, I knew times were tough for Republicans at the Hill, but it looks like things may be sinking to a whole new level if these are the only options we have left. So, yes, he is leaving as communications director for a Republican to manage a Holiday Inn Express in Kansas. Don't you just love that? Oh, couldn't be better news. And in the not good news department, and many of you have heard about this, a Senate aide has been busted for attempting to rendezvous and have sex with a boy. He is a staffer for Senator Maria Cantwell, and it was a sting. He was on AOL in his office, and there was, you know, the whole story. There was a guy there that he was actually an FBI agent, and they arranged to have, he could have sex with a 13-year-old boy. He wanted a picture of the boy, and he was arrested when he went to meet the 13-year-old at an office building. And he worked with, prior to coming on with Maria Cantwell, I believe this is the fellow, he worked with the HRC. And HRC, the Human Rights Coalition, is not, you know, they're saying employee confidentiality. We're not saying why he left. And then on top of that, we have a volunteer for Hillary and her presidential campaign. This volunteer has resigned after forwarding a chain mail that suggests that Barack Obama is a Muslim who secretly wants to destroy the United States by being elected to the highest office, which is, of course, the Manchurian candidate story. This email has been flying around the web, you know, ever since Barack Obama first, you know, his name was first, you know, saying that he trained in military schools in Iraq. And anyway, she forwarded it. I mean, how stupid do you have to be to even, you know, forward chain mail, and especially chain mail like this? So, you know, that came out that, you know, all I've got to say is, you know, with all the pervs in the Democratic Party, And all the people who are too stupid not to realize you don't forward chain mail, would you all just please go to your lockers and take your lunch, get your lunch bag, and just go home? We don't need you. We don't need your help. We in no way want you invited to the party. You know, take your predilection for 13-year-old boys and your low-beam intelligence for forwarding emails like that and just get the hell out. You know, I guess every party has stupid and perverted people in it. But I don't like to see it in our party. In fact, you know, every time, you know, this is, I just hate it. Anyway, that's my rant on that. Get that out. And Watergate felon, I wanted to get this into, Charles Colson, he was convicted in the Watergate thing. He got himself a nice gig working for the prison system, a well-funded prison program, and the program was basically forcing people to Christianize within the prison system. Now, well, that program was slapped down by Justice O'Connor. Basically, the court ruled that tax funding of the Evangelical Christian Rehabilitation Program at the Iowa State Prison violates the separation of church and state and must end. It was a correctional assistant program at the Newton Correctional Facility called Interchange, and it was operated by Chuck Colson of the Prison Fellowship Ministries. You know, what is it about these people that are, you know, they go from being a felon to trying to... anyway, the whole program is about advancing religious indoctrination at the state's expense. The suit was brought on behalf of inmates and their families. At the trial, the inmates testified that they were pressured to convert to evangelical Christianity and that the beliefs of a Roman Catholic and other faiths were ridiculed. The court showed that non-Christians were frequently referred to as unsaved, lost, pagan, sinful by the Interchange staff, and the program required staffers to abide by an evangelical statement of faith. And why do I get so upset about this stuff? Well, you can be damn sure if they're saying this sort of thing about Roman Catholics, for crying out loud, you can imagine what they're saying about the LGBT folks. You know, jail's not a very easy place to be. And, you know, a lot of times these programs like this, like Bible study, you know, they're actually valuable. They represent moments of peace. But rarely do you ever feel it and when you're in a situation where it's controlled by a group. I mean, you know, if individual inmates meet to, you know, do a Bible study or whatever they want to do, that's, you know, in fact, it's probably a stabilizing and good influence. But the thing about when you get the fundies involved, it all becomes high-pressure sales. You know, sign that bottom line, son. You know, it's like used car dealers. And a felon from Watergate, for crying out loud. What the hell is he doing? What is a convicted felon doing in a prison anyway? You know, it's against the law for a felon to go visit someone in prison. I mean, at least in Florida it is. I mean, you know, in other words, criminals are not supposed to associate with criminals upon the playground, which by playground I mean the prisons. Lord have mercy, I'm ranting all over the place tonight. Let's see, 10:57. I should tell you about the evening. We are going to be running a horn section this evening. I'm not sure if our friend John can join us from Australia this evening. John is having some technical problems, which he is struggling with as we speak, and he may very well be able to join us. But Bob and I will be there at 11 till midnight. And let's see. Also working on a music guest for next week and perhaps a music guest for the last week in December. And that should be very interesting. And I've already told you about the fellow DeVeers, Brian DeVeers, who will be with us in January. And so in closing the show for the evening, thank you for being there. And I have enjoyed being with you. It's always an honor to be with you on Strictly Confidential. And... you know, what can I tell you? Just survive one more day and stay the hell out of the way of the crazies, because there's a lot of them out there. So as we close the program, well, here's Cynthia Manley reminding you to...
This is the Quality News Network. In America's heartland, 9 people are dead, 5 are wounded, after a gunman opened fire at a crowded shopping mall in Omaha, Nebraska, and then turned the gun on himself. Nebraska State Police have locked down the Westroads Mall. Shoppers are being allowed out, but no one is being allowed inside. Authorities say the shooter's motive is unclear, but he did leave a suicide note behind. As it heads north, a devastating storm in the Pacific Northwest has left a path of destruction in its wake. At least 5 people have died. Meantime, residents are cleaning up. State workers are trying to open highways and public buildings ravaged by rain and wind. Congressional investigators warn of a, quote, high risk of catastrophic runway crash occurring at a U.S. airport. That's according to the Government Accountability Office, an investigative arm of Congress. The report points to overworked air traffic controllers, malfunctioning technology, and a lack of federal leadership as reasons why a major runway accident could happen at any time. President Bush will speak to the U.S. subprime mortgage crisis tomorrow after crafting an agreement between banks and mortgage companies to freeze subprime rates for the next 5 years. Mr. Bush is also calling on Iran to, quote, come clean, unquote, regarding its nuclear activities or else face diplomatic isolation. In response, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is declaring victory over the U.S. concerning new intelligence. A U.N. nuclear watchdog says Iran is, quote, somewhat vindicated, unquote, by the U.S. report. The Supreme Court is deciding whether or not to reverse a lower court decision, which basically ruled that 36 prisoners at Guantanamo Bay have no constitutional rights. Some have been